swaps are roasting on a open fire. This is the MCAST show. Take a seat and watch this video. Merry Christmas from the MCAST.
Merry Christmas.
Doing my best here. All right. Welcome to the MCAST. And continuing listeners, continuing to listen to MCAST, you get a little audio bite of me singing terribly Christmas songs. I'm your host, Alex Kessler. This is my co-host, Ben Bateman. Today we're talking about swaps, and specifically what our favorite black cards in Modern are classically. And not even necessarily the best ones, what we think are the coolest, what we think specifically what is coolest about the color Ply in Black and what's doing in Magic. And for a lot of people, Black is, I think, to me, kind of the reason people got into Magic in some ways, not me specifically, but I had so many friends who were just like, I want to be edgy, right? And like when you were a kid, they're like
pentagrams, the demons, the like that whole thing.
Their symbol is a skull. Like that's like the amount of kids I knew when we first started playing Magic, they're like, oh, I'm a badass. I got a red black deck. It's fire and skulls. Yeah, like was just like definitely a vibe. And I think it's gotten a lot of people into Magic. And as we go to Kaldheim, literally this week we're starting previews, we're seeing like that finally come to fruition. Like we're going to the metal set. This is the place that's meant to be, like all of the first five bands are all metal bands previewing cards.
Mastodon, I saw Mastodon preparing a card today.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I think like just like the edginess is what, and like obviously there's some cringe around that now, but I do think there's just like something always really cool about what Black man is trying to doing, sacrificing yourself for power. So we're going, we're gonna count down.
Greed.
We're gonna count down our five favorite Modern cards in Black. Before we do that, please like and subscribe. Comment below what your top five favorite Black cards are in Modern, because we want to see yours and see how close they were to ours. My number one is Bloodghast. One hasty, if you got 10 or less life, comes back from the graveyard if you play a land, spooky vampire ghost. One of the few crossover vampire zombie ghost things that are out there, which I think is always really cool. It's like two different undeads, right? It's like crossing the streams. Ben, you're looking at me.
Zombie spirit. No, it's like a zombie spirit, right?
It's a vampire spirit.
Vampire spirit.
Yeah. So it's both a ghost and a vampire. But vampires are dead already, so how do they have ghosts? It's very complicated. A lot of blood involved. this is like a feature of every set self-mill deck ever, basically, since it's been printed. In Legacy, you use it to grab non-barrel rights, the other one.
Dread Return.
In Modern, in Dredge, you use it because it's like the easiest way to get Prize Amalgams back into play. Like, if you're playing Dredgevine, it's just another creature that's really good with Vengevine because it can eventually come into play with haste. Like it's just this like super versatile. Playing a land is so free and consistent in Modern. It also gets along with Life in the Loam, which is we'll talk about later this episode or this week. Because you can get the lands back and it dredges Bloodghast into play, it's kind of this own little cool land engine alongside of each other. It's just like really cool. Great with everything I like doing in Magic.
Sick. Yeah, I love Bloodghast. I'll go with number five. Look, I have to be honest. My honorable mention here when I was making my list of bad black cards that I loved is like so sweet, but I can't go with Soulspike because it's just a horrible card that I like that I've never even been able to successfully play in Modern. So that's an honorable mention. But I will go with my number five on this list of actually cards that I think are sweet. And that is the card Suffer the Past. I've been talking about this card for years. I've played this card against you actually in multiple formats. I think it's super underrated. It is one black X instant. Exile X target cards from target player's graveyard. For each card exiled this way, that player loses one life and you gain one life. So I've been playing this card for years. And the reason is because when you think about all of the things that you want to do in any kind of a reactive deck, especially like if you're playing a Grixis deck, for instance, or like a blue-black control deck, there aren't that many ways to gain life in blue. Some in black, some. But a lot of those ways to gain life in black are like the bad, like deal two damage to a creature, you gain two life, like cards that are marginal. You wouldn't actually want to play them in most decks.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that at the same time you're gaining life, incidentally, you're exiling cards, which targeted exile if you play this for black one, for instance, and you just get rid of that thing that they're trying to target, like, you know, whatever it is, the prize amalgam, the reanimation spell, it's totally fine. It doesn't draw you a card. But the fact that ultimately at the end of the game, if you're going long against somebody and you guys are going resource for resource and you top deck this and you're like, end of turn, I will exile seven cards from your graveyard and drain gain you seven. Game over. It scales really nicely to be able to be a late draw in some decks that'll just win the game for you as long as they have a full graveyard. So it's not the most powerful card, but it's a card that I have played in multiple formats and always really liked. And I think it's cool to be able to bring it up.
I hate this card. Specifically because you keep eating my graveyard with it.
I've wrecked you with the card a few times before.
Yeah, I know. I hate it. next card on my list does go with Bloodghast, is a vampire. And this is a Viscera Seer. Black for a 1/1 vampire. Something aristic. I have no idea what its second creature type.
Seer. No. This is a Viscera Seer. That's not what it is.
Yeah. whatever it is, it's a 1/1 vampire. But it has the ability to sacrifice a creature for free and scry one. The most important thing is sacrificing a creature for free on a 1-drop creature with a relevant creature type is like super super powerful and has been a key part in Glyr combo decks basically since Modern Inception. And then on top of that fact, just like. Having a free sac outlet in general is very powerful, and there's a ton of places that it's seen a lot of play just because of that and as an alternative. And then on top of that, the scry ability is super relevant, right? Like being able to scry in that value engine by getting a thing that you need for sac outlets and aristocrat decks is really important. So it being able to scry, which kind of is like a half of a card or even a third of a card, but it's still like worth it when you're sacking things that for value. And then being a free sack out is just like super powerful. Plus it's a 1-drop, so you can like tutor it with random stuff that's really good as well.
Yeah, it's a no joke, super powerful card. I would go with my next card on this list, which is Blood Artist. Black one. This is a card known by many a player. It is a 0/1 vampire. Whenever Blood Artist or another creature dies, target player loses one life and you gain one life. Classically, I used to play this card in Hunted Handsome. It was a card that was a big part of the drain gain token strategy. The cool thing about Blood Artist is that I think it's a multi-format all-star. I think people just love this card. I think it's been such a beloved card for such a long time because it's a 0/1 for 2. So it doesn't do anything. It's super fragile. It just sits there. It's especially good in multiplayer games where you can just sit there and profit off of other people's back and forth. I mean, back in its limited format when it was first printed, this was another card that if you had this on the battlefield, you could just like slowly but surely like negotiate your combat trades to get back in the game. It's a really powerful card. And Azulaport Enforcer Azulaport Cutthroat probably, is the only creatures you control version, I believe. But this one references all creatures, which is especially cool. So I've always loved Blood Artist. I've always had a soft spot. I feel like you like this card too.
Yeah, the reason it didn't make my list and it was like definitely up there was I actually don't know which Blood Artist effect I like the most. And I think I'm starting to like the enchantment one that they just printed. Not for modern, but just like
Bastion in of general. Remembrance. Is that the card?
Yeah, the fact that it comes into play, and then you can't get rid of it very easily, right? It's an enchantment, so like no one's playing removal to really get rid of it. It gets you the token that then can die. Like Blood Artist, if they block with it or if they try and protect you with it, you get nothing out of it. You get the token, and then this thing just sits in play and gains you value, and it's like very, very hard to interact with. I like it is 3 mana, but like the fact that it makes like a fog creature that you can block with and that you still gain value off of it, I think is like strong enough to me. I don't know. I like have really liked that card. And then obviously for formats outside of 1v1, like in multiplayer, the fact that it hits all players is really important. And I've found that more often than not, if I'm playing a Blood Artist, I care about what I'm doing more than I care about what other players are doing. Like, yes, getting random players. But in some ways, it's a liability in multiplayer, right? Because, like, you're reminding people that you're hurting them. You're like, oh, yeah, I did damage to you. And they're like, well, you keep doing damage to me with Bloodghast. I'm going to attack, or not, with Pain Art, Blood Artist. Blood I'm Artist, attack yeah. you. So it's a little bit weird. But that, like, it was almost just like the field was too competitive and they all lost because of it. No one made it on my list. Fair. I will say one of the coolest Blood Artist decks I've ever seen was the like Collected Company Blood Artist deck that was playing 4 Blood Artist and 4 Azulaport Cutthroat and Collected Company. And just like if they cast 2 Collected Companies, you can't win. Because if like,
just because there's like the combat's impossible.
Well, it's like you have the four blood artists in play. If one of them dies, they dome you for four. And they like can, if they like something else dies, like they can like just have other threats into play, and your threat, like everything was bad. I'm just like, I can't beat this. There's too much.
It does
in the
make
way.
You wonder if they ever print another one. If they ever do this effect again, it's like game over. Because 12 of these in a deck is like pretty hard to beat, I feel like.
Yeah. And I mean, they're close, right? There's three mana ones that are good, right? Like the black red one out of Mayhem Devil that can hit anyone for one damage.
That's whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, though. I feel like Falcon Wrath Aristocrat is the 2/2 flyer for four that has the same actual ability.
Well, but you, that's if like for combat math, but you have the things doing it. The other one that would be really good is the legendary, the red black one that gives +1/+0 to all creatures you control, because it also makes all of your
Judith, the Scourge Diva.
Yeah, Blood Artist becomes a 1/1. You can attack with it finally.
Blood Artist is now a 1/1. Rock and roll.
The game is on. My number three is Dark Confidant.
Three. Okay.
I think this is like, I have cards I like more than Dark Confidant. This is the highest creature. I don't know if there's a better black creature ever printed. Mono black one. That one's harder.
One of your top two is going to be. I didn't go with the cards that I think will make your top, but I did go with Confidant higher. I'll save it for mine though. Go ahead.
Yeah, it draws you cards. It's a 2/1. It attacks. I will say that the amount of times before I bought into Jund, and when I was like playing against Jund regularly, the amount of times I just was like hoping that they wouldn't draw the thing they needed to kill their Dark Confidant, and I was going to be able to win by their Dark Confidant killing them, is so high, and it has never happened for me. They've never like been at three and flipped over the Bloodbraid Elf. It just never happened for me. It's always like land, draw a card. This card just like is so much value, and but it's like not damaging enough where you like want to waste your premium removal spells because you know they have something more dangerous on the other side of it. And then they play it with a Liliana of the Veil being able to get you. I like now on the other side of the table, it's great. You get all the cards you could ever want, and they all are removal spells, and every card you draw like draws you two cards because you're playing Jund. It's awesome.
I'll save my thoughts on this card for when it shows up on my list.
What's your number three?
My number three is Postmortem Lunge. This is a favorite of mine. This is actually a card that has shown up more and more in other people's lists. I used to talk about this card a lot. This is a Jerry T special. He loves this card. This is one of those spells printed in New Phyrexia that is costs a Phyrexian black and X. It's a sorcery. Return target creature card with converted mana costs X from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste, exile at the beginning of the next end step. What's cool about this card is because you can pay the black with two life, it means that this card is functionally just the cost of a creature that's in your graveyard. And if that creature is something that, for instance, needs to have haste for any reason, maybe it's part of a combo or something like that. This is part of gifts packages. This is just a really powerful card. It's the cost is so cheap, right? It just lets you just basically have a parallel experience with your graveyard for any creature in your graveyard. And that's really good. If you mill your graveyard out, and you have 15 cards in your graveyard and you draw this, it's like all of a sudden it's kind of like Snapcaster Mage of Spells. You just have like a lot of options. Mm-hmm. So I've always been a big fan of this card. I think it sees more play now than it used to, but I still think it's pretty underplayed.
My next card is Thoughtseize. It's just the Force of Will of Modern. It's really good. You get to protect yourself from whatever they're going to play. It's very frustrating to play against, but it's great to play with. I don't have a lot to say, but it's like one of the best cards ever printed, actually.
It's enormously powerful. We got to preview it on this show, which is awesome. Sorry. Not Thoughtseize. The other card you're going to say. Thoughtseize is enormously powerful. It is crazy
list,
good.
By the way, Veil of Push is not on my list.
Okay, didn't make my list either. Okay, sweet. Thoughtseize didn't make my list. So, but it is obviously, you know, as you said, one of the best cards ever.
I think part of my affinity for Thoughtseize is just like I've been playing mono black decks that are like been discarding people's cards basically since I started playing Magic. My best Legacy finish was on mono black Pox. I was playing four Thoughtseize, playing Jund as soon as I was able to afford Tarmogoyfs, right? Like so I've been like Thoughtseizing people for a very long time, and like even now with Death Shadow and being able to take advantage of the life loss is even really cool, and the game with it, I think it's like a pretty fair card. People were pretty unhappy. Michael and Sam, who used to work at Kess, were like pretty off of Thoughtseize being printed in historic. And that's actually pretty, like, I thought it was actually probably a good thing, just because it's like, it's a fairer police force than Force of Will.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, it makes it so there could never be anything in historic, in the same way that there could never be anything in modern, that's like so degenerate that decks that are just running four Thoughtseize plus four of another discard can't kind of compete with it, or at least kind of try and rip that out of the way, which I think is good for a format. Now, I like Force of Will more. Sure, but that's
there's also sort of there. Nothing worse than going against the eight discard spell deck and like just being like, oh man, like this is not fun at all. All the things I was going to do are not happening anymore. You have to be just playing like a really solid deck of good cards to avoid getting screwed by that. But I won't doubt that Thoughtseize. I won't deny that it's just an incredibly good card. Mm-hmm. My number two on my list is Bitter Blossom. One black, one colorless. It is a tribal enchantment fairy. Beginning of your upkeep, put a 1/1 black fairy rogue token onto the battlefield with flying and lose one life. It's a card that was banned originally in Modern. This was on the ban list. It got unbanned some years ago. Too it has good. Not made any impact, basically.
Yeah, it was a standard dominant, like top five standard decks of all time, all-star. And then was a extremely dominant player in New Extended when they changed the rules, and that was like the proto-modern. And so when they launched Modern, they looked at New Extended and they looked at the previous few standards and said, any cards that were too good in these moments, we don't want to be legal. So that's why Bitter Blossom started out banned. That's why Valakut started out banned. That's why Stoneforge Mystic, Jace, a lot of those cards
Sword were just of the
like,
Meek.
Sword of the Meek were just... Well, I think Sword of the Meek was more like a legacy combo that they thought was too good. Like, I don't... Because Sword of the Meek was never like too good in standard. These other things were too good in standard. And I think
yeah,
that they were
afraid Vision, of it. I mean, yeah, there's so many, but... but yeah, it's, I mean, look, the reason I like this card so much, I don't think it's the most powerful. And like I said, this list is kind of, I'm picking cards I like that I think are also good. Bitter Blossom is very powerful. And if you don't have the right interaction for Bitter Blossom, it's powerful enough that it'll win the game on its own, which is a lot to say about a card. Like Bitter Blossom in any of the matchups that you've ever played against that are with it, it's a card that if they don't answer, just like pretty quickly just takes over the game. There, you have to find a way around it. You have to find a way to get their life total down or have a way to consistently remove the tokens, because even though they're taking one a turn, it adds up very fast. Within a few turns, they've got 3-4 flyers. They're not doing anything. It's not costing them anything. Just a few life. And that force can win the game very quickly if they have any backup for it. So I still think Bitter Blossom in the fairies deck, and especially in decks that really want to take advantage of tokens, it's one of the best token producers ever printed.
Yeah. I've always loved Bitter Blossom. I like the value engine on it. I like that you can use it. I like having Lingering Souls on my black white on my white list. So like, Bitter Blossom is right alongside that. I think it's really cool. And I've never had to play it against it in a, like, I started playing after Lorwyn, right? So like, I've never played against it in a world where it was like unfun. So I've always had like a good time with it. My number one white card is Liliana the Veil. I'll play that card in any format. I mean, like, if we haven't figured out the theme, I like removal spells and I like things that let me put cards from my hand or deck into my graveyard, or also known as second hand. Liliana the Veil is just like such a cool card. I think it's like the fairest, best planeswalker of all time. I don't think it's ever been problematically dominant. It's like a removal spell. It discards, it helps remove your opponent, like it makes it so your opponent has to get stuff into play, otherwise they can't just like hold on to stuff, so it's great against control. It lets you have the big moments of like, oh, I'm playing with cards that I want to put in my graveyard. This lets me do that. I like play it in commander decks as a discard outlet. I played it in Highlander decks as a discard outlet. I think just like also it has like cool interactions with like the Sun Titan, Liliana of the Veil, Solar Flare decks that were kind of a big deal in standard are always like really, really dope and really cool. Sentai definitely was a card that barely made it like off of my top five list. But yeah, Liliana just like will always have a place in my heart. And honestly, like single-handedly keeps black at one of my favorite colors in Magic, just like by herself being as sweet as she is.
She's really sweet. I didn't really think to put Liliana on my list. I guess I've always liked the card. It's always been very powerful. It's never been a card that I felt like was my identity as much. It's Not sure why exactly.
I don't even know if I can think of a time I've seen you have it in play under your control, unless I maybe lend you Jund. Like, it's not really your vibe.
I play it in Highlander for sure. It's in my Jund deck in Highlander. It's a good card. It's a great card. It's just not one of my favorite cards. Dark Confidant is my number one. You know, it's for me, it's an easy choice. It's the cycle of two mana creatures for the most part are favorites of mine. I didn't put them all on my list, but I did put a few of them. And Dark Confidant is one of my favorites. It's just such a great thing to be able to do on turn two. It's one of my favorite turn two plays in any black deck. When it's in your opening hand, it always feels great, right? It's just such an easy, like, I'm such a fan of 2/1s for two that have a great upside. I'm such a fan of that. And so I just love this card. I love that it's a human. I love that it's a wizard. I love it in all kinds of decks. This is one of my 10 favorite Magic cards probably ever. I love Dark Confidant.
So we kind of talked a bit at the beginning, but like for blue and white, we talked about what about that color is the reason we like playing that color. And I wonder what for you that is for black.
Black's one of my least favorite colors in Magic. Even when I play black, it's usually as a support color. There are some things black does. I do like the efficiency and the proactive nature of hand disruption, even though I don't like having it played against me. And I do like the edict effects that black has. I think the edict effects that black has are really unique and very powerful. And they get around a lot of things that are super problematic. They get around hexproof. They get around indestructible. They're one of the few things that you can efficiently do. Anytime you have like an instant speed edict type effect, that can just win the game on its own. So, you know, I play like Tribute to Hunger, for instance. It's an old limited card from years ago, from Innistrad, I think. Like, I play that in some of my Highlander decks because it's great to be able to instant speed, make them sacrifice their biggest thing and gain a bunch of life, and can be really powerful against like a Blightsteel Colossus or even like just like a Primeval Titan. It's really good.
I think for me, it's a lot of the value. It's probably just the graveyard in reality. Yeah. It's like, I love aristocrat strategies. I love like the sacrificing things and then they coming back for less expensive, or creating tokens that then you can sacrifice for value. I love reanimating stuff out of my graveyard. I mean, literally, like, if you look at the commander decks I currently have, I have like 8 different versions of Marin built. And by that, I mean, I have Marin. I have 3 Kess decks. I have even like Vadrock is that. I have Mimeoplasm. Like, the reason I'm not building the blue-black legend that you just built for Commander is because I already have multiple decks that are like reanimate things for my graveyard out of value. Or like, you can cast things out of your graveyard for value that I was like, I don't know if I need another one of those. That seems so extreme. Like, especially like, I just built Tavishat Tormog, which is like all Bloodghast tribal, where I'm bringing creatures back every turn. So it's like that whole interaction is something that I like live for in Magic, and is like becoming more and more my vibe almost exclusively. I think the thing I like about, and one of the reasons black is I think blue, like Grixis are my favorite color combos, and I think that's one of the reasons it's up there.
I was going to ask you that. I feel like, is Grixis both of our favorite 3 color combo?
I don't know.
I think it probably is.
I know I don't like green.
I like Sultai enough. I like Esper enough, but Esper feels a little boring. Grixis feels exactly where I want to be. Grixis feels like almost exactly most of the time exactly where I want to be. It's got counterspells. It's got removal. It's got hand disruption. It's got burn. It's got card draw. Like, it's cheap.
I think like
it's recursive.
What's been interesting to me is classically I either love blue white or I love Jund, or I love blue white and I love Abzan, right? Like, I love green black and I love blue white, and then red's gotten a lot better recently as like fall and like and so it's almost like I either like black green and Jeskai or blue white and Jund, right? Yeah. So it's like it's two of those combos is where I fall the most into. I don't know if Grixis, I've like never had a modern Grixis deck. I've never built it. I never built a Kess based Grixis deck in modern. Like, I've never played a game that with that, so I don't even know.
I played Grixis Twin at one point.
I had Twin, I just never had black in it.
Yeah, I played a few Grixis decks. I played a few Grixis decks over the years. There's some sweet stuff you can do in Grixis for sure. I built like this really cool Grixis deck at one point in modern that was like Training Grounds, Pack Rat, Nickel, the 4-mana Nickel Bolas creature that flips, all that kind of stuff. Because the whole idea, you could like turn one training grounds, turn two pack rat, turn three with like an Urborg, you could like discard three cards and make three three threes. And then also have the ability to like play Nicol Bolas, untap, hit your fifth land, flip Nicol Bolas, was really sweet. Training Grounds is like the key to that deck, but it was definitely a fun idea for a deck. So
sweet.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's it for black. Obviously we're getting to, if you're listening to this audio only, we'll be on blue in a second, but for video watchers, thank you so much for watching. Please like, and subscribe, comment below with your favorite black cards. Why do you love black? And make sure to check out, we released multiple colors this week. Every day this week we're releasing a new color. Check all those videos out, and then I would love to hear your thoughts on those as well. Also, every Monday 7:30 p.m. we're doing a live stream of Commander. That's just the new thing we do, so check it on YouTube and Twitch, both places, so check that out as well. Thank you to our patrons. Thank you for making this happen. We are able to do these videos on a weekly basis because patron, right now this is kind of a test. If we want to be able to keep doing this, we probably need to grow that patron. So if anyone can check that out, please, it really helps the podcast out, and makes it so we can do more and more cool content.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much for supporting what we do. And as Alex mentioned, the Patreon is instrumental to what we're doing, and it would mean a lot to us, especially as a holiday gift to the MMcast. If you guys want to join the Patreon, please do. Patreon.com/TheMMcast.
This has been a production of Time Traveler Media, sending podcasts into the future.